And in studio with me now are Rick Dines and Josh Inman, both, of course, from Springfield Contemporary Theater. Rick, I guess you're here to talk about the upcoming season, but of course Josh is here to talk about the current production. So
that's right. Yeah, we open our 23rd season tonight.
That's right. It's unusual. SCT starts their season in June.
Usually the first week of June. This year we backed it up a week because of the way the calendar fell. But yeah, we're opening the season tonight because, you know, unlike the other theaters in town, we produce 12 months out of the year.
Right.
So where the season starts sometimes feels a little arbitrary, but because we're just rolling right through. But we have probably the most ambitious season we've ever produced coming up this year.
Well, we'll let you talk about that in just a second, but I want Josh to tell us about Beehive, the 60s musical, which is opening the new season of Springfield Contemporary Theater at SCT Center Stage in Wellhoyt Plaza. This is great nostalgia time for anybody who likes music of the 1960s.
Oh, absolutely. It's so fun. You know, there's over 40 songs from the 60s, and we just take you on a trip. All the girl group stuff is in there. We go through British Invasion, we go into, you know, Dusty and Janice and Tina and just Aretha. Everything you want, 60s is there. It's great.
Now, there are six young women, but the story is basically told from their point of view.
Yeah, we have six cast members, and then we have one cast member, Emily Howard, who kind of serves as a narrator of sorts, but they all sing and dance and tell that story.
Are they portraying a specific girl group or just...
Not necessarily. You know, they
it's
all
more,
just,
so is it more like a review?
It
then?
Is a review,
okay.
But there's a loose storyline that follows it through. So
basically, these women came of age during the 1960s, and neither one of you probably remembers that decade.
No. But I mean, to a degree, and I think the show reflects that, the country kind of came of age in the 1960s,
that's for
too.
Certain.
And so I think the show definitely threw that, because it for the most part, takes the material chronologically through that decade. So you kind of see that maturing of the country as well as of the girls.
So it's not just about music. We're really seeing something dealing with the issues that took place as these songs were hitting the top 40.
Yes. And you see how that affects the girls as it goes through as well.
All right. You are directing and choreographing. And, of course, Alex Huff is the musical director for this. Tonight is your opening night.
Yes, it is.
Running through June 11th, Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30, Sunday afternoons at 2. And I love the description of this as being the ultimate celebration of 1960s female empowerment.
Yes.
It's a great description for what happens in the show. You're talking about songs like Be My Baby, Son of a Preacher Man. You know, you mentioned Dusty Springfield. Me and Bobby McGee, because you mentioned Janice. My Boyfriend's Back.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the songs aren't necessarily the girl groups, the stereotypical girl groups, but a lot of them are going to be out of, what you say, 40 songs altogether?
Yeah, we have about 40 songs.
And can you tell me a little about... I don't want to give away too much, but as you say, there is kind of a story arc for these six ladies who are performing and living through this decade. So,
right. We start when the girls are young, you know, and the music reflects that. And then as we go through, we see kind of what, like Rick was saying, what happened to our country during the 60s. You see how that affects the girls, and not only in the music, but in their lives, and kind of how that influences, you know, the rest of that.
Do we also get a sense of how it affected the music?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
how the music may have evolved and perhaps matured as the decade went on.
Mm-hmm.
How early in the 60s does it start then?
We start right at 1960.
Okay, yeah. And you go right through 69.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay, that is called Beehive, the 60s musical, and it is opening the new season for Springfield Contemporary Theater at SCT Center Stage tonight at 7:30. Now, Rick Dines, you said this new season is maybe the most ambitious yet. That's kind of hard to believe, because SCT has done a lot of ambitious things over the years, let's face it.
We have. But this is the first year that I can say there are 14 titles in a 12-month span.
Now, that is ambitious.
It was 10, because there are 10 production slots in the season. Then when we added the solo festival... This year, the solo festival is four shows in that one slot instead of three, and over the holidays, we're encoring Santaland Diaries from last season, and so it kicked the number up
to 14,
which equates to the staff not sleeping.
The staff moving into the building.
But anyway, yeah, so we follow Beehive with Dario Fo's early 1970s Italian comedy, Accidental Death of an Anarchist, a title that doesn't sound like a comedy, and to describe it doesn't sound like a comedy, but it is outrageously hilarious. It's actually kind of based on a real event that happened. This railway worker who was an anarchist, accused of a bombing, was hauled into a police station for questioning and fell, jumped, was pushed from a third-story window at the police station, and died. And in the course of this fictional play, this friend of the railway worker has shown up at the police headquarters and is trying to get to the bottom of what happened. And when he realizes he's not going to get anywhere with it, he starts assuming disguises of judges and other people that might be able to get to the bottom of it to try to figure out what really happened. And so it is really,
it's one of those stories, you can't make this stuff up.
No, but it is really this outrageous political satire of police corruption, and it's really just delightfully funny. Very steeped in commedia, but at the same time, you know, very much set in the 70s.
Right.
Gretchen Teague is directing that. My new co-artistic director, Nathan Shelton, is going to be starring in that as the character that Fo deems the maniac, the one who assumes all these disguises.
So Nathan is resettling back here.
Very swiftly. And then we follow that up in August. Bob Bradley is directing a production of a really new play called Here by Taylor Mack. Here, spelled H-I-R, which is the... And I'm not an English professor, so I'll screw this up because I don't have it in front of me. It is the pronoun that is adopted for, and I won't go into the specifics of the usage of the pronoun because that's where I'll screw it up. It's the pronoun that has been adopted for female to male transgender individuals. But the play itself deals with this young man Isaac, who has come back from a couple tours in the Middle East fighting to his family, which is in a state of chaos. His father's had a small stroke. His mother has trumped the patriarchy and taken over the household and is possibly over-medicating his father into kind of a catatonic state.
Oh, good grief.
And his high school-age sister, whom he left whenever he went to war, he returns, and she has come out as transgender and has transitioned into his brother. And the mild PTSD he has when he leaves is now exacerbated in dealing with his family. And much like the other show, a show that doesn't sound like a comedy and is one of the most outrageously written plays I've ever read.
Well, you know, for all the seriousness of the subject matter, I mean, just the way you were describing it before saying, yes, this is a comedy, you can see how there could be a lot of humor in the situation.
Absolutely. It's brilliantly written. It's a very subversive, interesting new play. Like I said, it just played in New York about 2 years ago by a very up-and-coming playwright, performer, Taylor Mack, who is very much a part of the avant-garde downtown scene, and this was really his first kind of mainstream come up to Midtown and get to do a play production.
Kind of a hit, if you want to call it that. Yeah,
and it's a great play. So to keep plowing through, then in September we're co-producing.
He's doing this from memory, folks.
I am. Resident Artist Ensemble and us are co-producing the play Good People by David Lindsay Abaire, award-winning playwright. Really, I think, in my opinion, his best play, that deals with Margie, this woman in South Boston who's in her 50s and struggling. I mean, she's struggled to hold down a job and keep a job, and it's kind of about her and the other ladies in her life. But when she reacquaints herself with a high school sweetheart who's now a very successful doctor and has kind of gotten out of the neighborhood, she thinks maybe he's her key to finally getting a leg up. And so it's a really poignant, delightful play about a lot of what people are struggling with in the country. And then in October, Nathan will be directing with Josh, choreographing our third mounting of the Rocky Horror Show. We haven't done it in 7 years, and we haven't done it in the new venue, which is which is even more immersive. So I'm excited to see how an even more immersive Rocky Horror will overtake Springfield.
People can really wing the actors on stage with pieces of toast and everything else.
There's no escaping this Rocky Horror.
You don't even have to have good aim.
We're looking forward to that. It's going to be great fun. And then we're bringing back from Los Angeles Jack Laufer, an actor who we've worked with multiple times before.
Right.
But this time Jack's going to be directing and acting.
All right.
Jack is directing the award-winning great American play Driving Miss Daisy, about a older Jewish woman living in the South who when she can no longer drive, her son hires a black chauffeur for her,
and the tension and friendship
that come from that
right.
relationship. Then, as I said, we're bringing Santaland Diaries back for the holidays with Nathan doing the role again of Crumpet, David Sedaris's elfin alter ego.
Yes.
Well,
Nathan's kind of elfin himself, yeah, actually.
Nathan did such a great job with it last year. We're really excited to bring it back. Audiences really embraced it and loved it. And then we kick off 2018 with our new Solo Play Festival again. This will be our third year doing the Solo Play Festival. Four shows in the festival this year. We kick off with Walking Toward America, which is based on Ilga Weiss's memoir. Ilga is a retired Drury professor who lives here in town.
People hear her on here on KSMU on our League of Women Voters interview show.
Yeah, but Ilga's memoir was adapted to the stage by Sandy Asher, a collaborator we've worked with many times,
right.
Who's also a former Drury professor who lives in Pennsylvania now. But this play has been produced already. As a matter of fact, it played a solo play festival in New York City 2 years ago. And we're actually bringing the actress in that did it in New York, who's a Springfield native, Annie Meek Montgomery.
Yes, yes.
And so we're bringing Annie back to do the role that, like I said, she did in New York, playing Ilga and this story of Ilga's.
I know Ilga was so excited about this.
Yeah, it's a great play. It's a great, great story. So much of our solo play festival this year is kind of about the perseverance of women. I mean, last year was kind of about American humorists, and this year it's about the perseverance of women. And so, so like I said, that kicks it off. And then we do a play called I'll Eat You Last, a chat with Sue Mengers, which is about Sue Mengers, who was a Hollywood power agent in the 60s, 70s, 80s, back in the era of the Hollywood power agent. But she was really the first female.
Now you have power agents in sports as opposed to Hollywood.
And that era in Hollywood kind of, and that's kind of where the play picks up, is right as that power agent era is waning.
Yes.
And she's losing the clients she has because she's too pushy, and the studios, it's actually hurting her clients with the studios because she's so pushy. And the play takes place in her gorgeous Hollywood home the day that Streisand fired her, and she had been Streisand's agent since the beginning of her career, and they were very close friends, and so she's waiting by the phone because she knows Barbara will come to her senses and call her back and take her back. And so while she's waiting by the phone, she's telling us all the Hollywood dish that there is to know about her clients and her career, and then that's followed up by a wonderful fictional play called Grounded, about a fighter pilot, an American fighter pilot who gets pregnant and is grounded and cannot fly. And after having her baby, the Air Force will not let her fly again, but instead put her in a trailer in the Nevada desert piloting drones. A woman whose passion is to fly planes, getting cooped up in a trailer flying drones half a world away, and the impact that has on her. But it's a beautiful play. It was done about 2 years ago at the Public Theater in New York with Anne Hathaway. And there's actually, I believe, talk that Hathaway's producing a film version of it for herself that'll be forthcoming. But Melanie Dreyer-Luda is directing that as a part of the festival. And then we close the festival with something that's technically not a play, but rather a dance piece. Ruth Barnes, dance professor at MSU, who we've worked with many times. Ruth has a solo dance piece for herself that she collaborated with five other international choreographers while she was in Edinburgh at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and developed this piece. And so she's done it a couple places in Europe, in the United States, but hasn't done it in Springfield yet. So that's going to be the fourth and final piece in that festival. Only three more. We're in the home stretch. though I say we're in the home stretch, we're coming to the biggest thing of the season.
Sure.
And the show that Josh and I are tackling that I'm still wrapping my brain around how we're tackling, but I'm very excited about. The first locally produced production of the award-winning American musical Ragtime. It's such an epic, lovely, amazing story with gorgeous music. But more and more we're starting to see regionally and actually internationally some productions that really are pulling it into smaller venues and really focusing this story. And they're becoming really highly reviewed, dynamic productions. And so it kind of inspired me that it's something we need to look at. And it's unfortunately extremely topical. You know, a play dealing with immigrants and police brutality, racial issues, labor unions, and, you know, workers' rights, and all these things that were turn-of-the-century issues that encapsulate this play for the beginning of the 20th century are kind of coming full swing again. And which was part of the reason that I was like, we also need to look at this for this season. And then, again, another wonderful new play that played in New York about 2 years ago called The Christians by another strong up-and-coming playwright, Lucas Nath, who has a new play on Broadway this season that many are thinking may take the Tony Award this season.
Ah.
But his play, The Christians, which is about a megachurch that the pastor of the church has awoken one day and is changing elements of the dogma of the church. He has had this revelation that these things that they believed in, maybe they need to reconsider. And it creates a rift and a schism amongst his congregation. And it's a really beautifully written, honest play about that situation that's not uncommon. Like I said, the play's about 2 years old, and there was a report that the director, Terry Bloodworth, sent me from the week before Christmas this past year of a church in Georgia that this exact actions of this play, what the element of the dogma was that's in discussion was different, but the events of the play almost played out exactly in this church in Georgia. And so it's, like I said, it's a beautifully honest but highly stylistic. The whole play is done in the style of a church service so that even private scenes of dialogue are presented in a public forum. Because there's one scene that's between the preacher and his wife laying in bed, but it's presented in the forum of a public space, which makes a very interesting, you know, clash there dramatically. And then we're closing the season with a play that isn't not a contemporary play, but is a brand new adaptation of a classic, Henrik Ibsen's An Enemy of the People.
You don't see Ibsen much on local stages.
No, but it's... Again, unfortunately, this 150-year play is bitingly relevant.
Topical.
It's about a town in water crisis. It's about science denial versus commerce and whistleblowing. I mean, really at its core. And it's a beautiful new adaptation by English playwright Rebecca Lenkiewicz. And I'm directing the show to close the season. So, like I said, it's a big year of stuff. But we're very, very excited about each and every show. I normally wouldn't say, but, you know, we put a season together, and there's usually one or two things in there that I'm like, those will be fun, but they don't just excite me to my core. And this year, there's not a thing in the season that doesn't excite me to my core down the line. And so I'm really, really thrilled with the year we put together.
Well, since Beehive the 60s musical is opening the season, that means that season tickets, no doubt, are available for the entire...
They are, and we do a slightly different season ticket than other theaters. We do a flex pass that is either in denominations of 5 shows or 10 shows. You can get it for one person or for 2 people, but the great thing about it is it's 5 tickets to whichever 5 shows you want to see.
It's not prepackaged by the company.
Nope. And if you don't use all of them by the end of the season, they roll over like forever stamps. So, and so you don't have to buy it. You know, if you miss the first show, you can buy in at any point in the year because you're not going to waste tickets. So it's really a great, great flexible deal that lets you see. We know we produce a lot of shows.
Yes.
And not everyone will fit all 14 in their calendar. So that's why we keep it as flexible as possible, but give people the option to, you know, save money with a package deal. So.
Call the box office at 831-8001 or visit springfieldcontemporarytheater.org, where you can also read up on all these new productions as they're coming along. And I guess the whole season's up.
The whole season's up, and there's information about all the shows.
Right.
Also, since we're launching the season this weekend, tonight and tomorrow night, after each performance, there's champagne and chocolate in the lobby with the company. So anybody in attendance gets that added on.
That's just for this first.
There are very few tickets left for tonight, but there are more for tomorrow.
Okay.
So if you want to kick off the season with us.
The chocolate and the champagne are just for this weekend, though.
Just for the 2 nights.
We don't have
it after the matinee this Sunday.
Right, you don't have it on Sunday. Okay.
But come down and join us to kick off the season this weekend, and it's going to be a good one.
All right, Josh Inman is directing Beehive the 60s musical now through June 11th at SCT Center Stage, and you were hearing from...
My title now has
what
evolved.
Is your title
With
has changed.
With the new season, my title changed.
Yeah,
because
right.
Nathan and I are co-artistic directors this season. So.
All right. So you call yourself a co-artistic director?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Nathan Shelton and I are co-artistic directing.
But that is, you were hearing co-artistic director of SCT, Rick Dines. Gentlemen, appreciate you being here.
Thank
especially
you,
on since you've got the opening coming tonight. So
it's ready. Yeah. It's very ready. So
it's a fun one. Come see us.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.